and our lives by the year 2100. That's right. We're going to have a sneak preview of the next 10, 20, 50, the next 100 years, as told to me by 300 of the world's top scientists who are inventing the future in their laboratory. So hold on to your hats. We're going to be talking about the future of medicine, the future of space travel, the future of computers, artificial intelligence, the future of jobs. We're going to be talking about your future in this hour. So for an $80 pledge, you can get a copy of my New York Times bestseller, Physics of the Future. And for a $100 pledge, you can get the Archives of Exploration. If you've been a follower of Exploration, you know that every week on Saturdays from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we interview some of the leading scientists concerning the environment, global warming, energy, concerning the origins of the human race, astronomy, the environment. All these topics we cover in Exploration, and a hard drive, a flash drive, with the Archives of Exploration will be yours for a $100 pledge. That's right. So for an $80 pledge, you can get my book, Physics of the Future. And for a $100 pledge, you can get a copy of the Archives on an MP3 flash drive, Archives of Exploration. And what is the number to call? Write this number down. The number is 516-620-3602. So write this number down. The number is 516-620-3602. And go to the website, give2wbai.org. Now, 2 is the number 2. So it's give2wbai.org. So go to the website, type in give2wbai.org, and you can figure out how you can be part of the WBAI family. Now, to be honest, WBAI had a near-death experience. We came very close to losing our antenna at the Empire State Building, an antenna that allows us to broadcast at 50,000 watts. That's a huge amount of power. I've been on many radio stations that have only 5,000 watts. Our antenna has 50,000 watts and is capable of reaching 50 miles in all directions. That's huge. You're talking about perhaps 18, 20 million people that can potentially listen in to 99.5 FM. So you can see, obviously, that WBAI has not yet lived up to its full potential. The potential to reach 50 miles in all directions with a huge signal, 50,000 watts, broadcasting from the Empire State Building. So what we're going to do for the next 2 hours is we're going to offer interviews. Interviews with some of the top scientists talking about the future. Oh, I just was corrected. Out to 90 miles. We can reach out to 90 miles. In fact, sometimes when I drive out to Yale or drive out to Princeton, I just turn on the radio and there you are. 60 miles from Manhattan, you can listen to 99.5 FM. But in principle, we can reach out to 90 miles in all directions. That's over 20 million people that can potentially listen to our message. So once again, to repeat, this is Dr. Michio Kaku. I'm a professor of theoretical physics at the City College of New York, where we are broadcasting from right now. I usually host a science program, Exploration Saturday, from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. But because of the urgency of fundraising, because of the urgency of raising money to keep this radio station alive, I'll be having a special edition of Exploration from 7 tonight to 9 o'clock tonight. The subject is the future. We're going to bring on a special guest from an organization that specializes in the future of medicine, robotics, artificial intelligence, space travel. Everything you want to know about the future is contained in the book, Physics of the Future. And once again, to repeat, an $80 pledge will get you a copy of Physics of the Future, New York Times bestseller, and a $100 pledge will get you an archive on a flash drive of previous explorations. Because every week for the last 20-plus years, I've brought you some of the leading scientists, many of them Nobel Prize winners, right to WBAI to share with you the gift of science. And the number to call, write this number down. The number to call is 516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602. That's the number to call, and you can get right to our hotline and pledge $80 to get a copy of my New York Times bestseller, Physics of the Future, or a $100 pledge for an archive of explorations on a flash drive. I should also point out that Physics of the Future, my book, is going to be made into a TV show. The Science Channel has agreed, in fact, has been filming a series on the Science Channel based more or less on my book. It's called This Changes Everything. It has two hosts. I'm one of the hosts because, of course, it's my book. The other host is the actor James Wood. So James Wood and I will be narrating and hosting a new series on the Science Channel called This Changes Everything, based loosely on my book, Physics of the Future. Well, what I'd like to do now, without further ado, is bring on the first interview. The first interview, we're going to be talking about the future with the organization that specializes on the future that's going to touch your life. The future of medicine, space travel, artificial intelligence, the future for all of us. So let's now have the first cut, and we're going to have the interview that'll take us into the future. 10, 20, 50, maybe 100 years into the future. Well, with us today is Patrick Tucker of the World Future Society, perhaps the leading organization in the United States that tries to look into its crystal ball, consulting with scientists, engineers, doctors about what the future may or may not bring. So, Patrick, glad you could be on Exploration.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
And the first question is, how did you, as a self-respecting person, decide to get into something like futurology and futurism? Most little kids want to become astronauts or firemen or what have you. How did you get into future studies?
Well, I, as a kid, really liked writing stories about science fiction. And the more you get into that, the more time you spend looking at other people that have written science fiction. And, of course, there's a great broad spectrum of people that live in that genre. And what I noticed is that among people like Isaac Asimov and others, people that were interested in science, more so than necessarily sort of social scenarios, they were actually able to telegraph a lot of really interesting things. H.G. Wells, for instance, in some of his earliest writings, was able to forecast to a large extent stuff like moving sidewalks. And, of course, Isaac Asimov was one of the first writers to see potential uses of collecting of satellites as solar collectors. And he spent he's most credited with his great work on robots and how robots would interact with people. So I looked at that, and I realized that the future is something that that we make all of the time. We spend a ton of our time thinking about it. In fact, recent studies show that we're thinking about the future even when we don't realize it. But a lot of that time that we spend thinking about the future, we're not putting to productive use. And so I wanted to see how I could spend the time that I spent thinking about the future more productively and just get better and better at it.
And perhaps one of the most spectacular predictions was made by H.G. Wells, who actually predicted the atomic bomb and made a prediction about when an atomic scientist would get the secret of the atomic bomb, and that inspired Leo Szilard to come out with the chain reaction and then to write a letter to Albert Einstein, who then wrote a letter to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and the rest is history. And also, tell us a little bit about the World Future Society.
Well, the World Future Society is the publisher of the Futurist magazine, where I serve as senior editor, and the Society and the Futurist have strived over the years to do one thing and to excel at it, and that is to serve as a neutral clearinghouse of ideas on the future. So we allow thinkers and political personalities and scientists to share in a very informed and serious dialogue about what the future could be like. And we do this in a couple of ways. We've got a website. It's www.wfs.org, as in worldfutursociety.org. We hold a conference every year. The next one is going to be in Vancouver July on the 8th, and we hope you can make it. And through the Futurist magazine, which talks to scientists and lay people and anybody that's got a fantastic future-changing idea, and we try to get at the heart of that idea and what it could mean for life here on Earth as it evolves over the next 20, 30, and 50 years.
Okay, well, let's get right into it. First of all, computers. Computers have been galloping at, doubling every 18 months. That's Moore's Law. And some people think that in the future, computers could disappear. But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the future of the computer?
Well, ubiquitous computing and computing, more and more computing power being everywhere is part of a, it's an example of what seems like the future that's actually part of the present. We are totally inundated with computer-generated information. If you recorded all human communication from the dawn of time until the year 2003, it would take up about 5 million gigabytes of storage space. And that's as much information as we now create every 2 days. So right now, much of that computer-generated information is stuff you see. It's 900,000 blog posts. It's 50 million tweets. It's 60 million Facebook status updates. And all of that is visible. But in the future, more and more of it is going to be invisible. And that's the sort of stuff that we're creating in greater abundance. Like when you swipe your MetroCard to get on the New York subway, you're creating data about where you live and what time you leave the house. And right now, there's very few people that use that data to any positive effect. I mean, it's just sort of stuck in a system somewhere, and maybe Metro gets around to doing something with it. But imagine a future in the next 10 or 20 or 30 years where all of the little bits of data that you create almost unconsciously when you swipe your magnetic access card to get into your building, when you get off the train in Washington, D.C., and you leave a record of when you got on and when you got off and what you like to see, imagine all of that being used to predict patterns of behaviors for millions of people so that resources could be allocated more efficiently to where people actually use them. You know, Google CEO Eric Schmidt said that the perfect search engine is something that anticipates what you're going to search for before you search it. So take that same principle, apply it to the future of computers as they exist outside in three-dimensional space, not just in the box on your desk, and imagine coming into contact with cars and stores and weight scales and other objects that are actually working with other objects to anticipate your needs and deliver what you want before you know you want it.
Okay, well, let's take them down, take it apart one at a time. Mention cars, and in the future, won't cars literally drive themselves?
Well, self-driving cars are actually already here. They're, in 2007, the third competition of the DARPA Grand Challenge, they hold a self-driving car competition from time to time since 2005.